This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Next week marks the winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere, the darkest evening of the year, but a little brighter in 2020 thanks to a rare astronomical sight called a Great Conjunction. The planets Jupiter and Saturn will be lined up in the sky. A version of this happens every couple decades, but this year is special. It's the closest our solar system's largest planets have appeared in centuries. Joining me to talk about this is Michelle Nichols. She's Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago and author of the book Astronomy Lab for Kids. Michelle, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks for having me back.
Listeners, we want to invite you to join our conversation at 800-222-9455. If you have questions about observing the Great Conjunction or backyard astronomy in general, or maybe you have a favorite memory of observing the night sky, we want to hear about it at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455, where you can tweet us at 21st Show. So, Michelle, let's start with a basic question. What is the true nature of space and time? No, I'm just kidding.
Is 42. No, sorry. That's the answer to life, the universe, and everything. Yeah.
Let's start with a different basic question. What is a planetary conjunction?
A conjunction refers to essentially when something appears close to something else in the sky. And so in this particular case, it is Jupiter appearing close to Saturn in the sky. And when two things are near each other in the sky, as viewed from Earth, in reality, these objects are very far apart. But when they're near each other in the sky, that's called a conjunction. And in this case, a Jupiter and Saturn conjunction happens to also be called a Great Conjunction. And those, as you said, happen about every 20 years. But occasionally they get especially close. And so that is the peak of that is happening on Monday, December 21st.
And I was going to ask, that was my next question. What makes this great? I read that the sort of apparent visual distance between the planets will be about the thickness of a dime held in arm's length.
Yeah, so to put it in sky terms, it's 1/10 of 1 degree or 1/5 the diameter of the full moon in the sky. So pretty close, not enough to merge or anything like that. They're still going to be distinct objects. But you can already see this. They're in the sky low to the southwest after sunset. So if you've been seeing them, if you've been watching them over the last few weeks, Jupiter and Saturn have appeared to get closer and closer and closer. And one of my colleagues photographed the two last night. He was able to get both of them in the same eyepiece view through the telescope. And that is something that is really cool to see.
Yeah, that's got to be getting, and they're only going to get closer together as we approach the solstice, right? I guess you can up the magnification.
Just a bit closer, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's come back to the actual sort of mechanics of viewing it if you have a telescope or binoculars a little later. Mm-hmm. But some people are calling this a Christmas star. I guess if you squint or if you're nearsighted, that it might look like a single point of light.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, they might appear to be closer or anything like that, but for most of us, they're going to appear as two distinct objects. They're not that close. If Jupiter actually passes in front of Saturn as seen from Earth, that's called a mutual occultation. That can happen, although the last time it happened was about 8,000 years ago, so that doesn't happen often. At all. I think it's because this particular one is happening near Christmas. They don't all happen near Christmas. Most of the time it's not near Christmas. So this one just happens to be. So it sort of got the moniker of the Christmas star.
Interesting. Well, you mentioned 8,000 years ago. We don't have to go back that far to look at a lot of attention has been given to the year 1623. And before that, mm-hmm. 1226, I guess, is the last time this was broadly visible.
Yeah. So the one in 1623 was in July. July 16th, 1623 is when Jupiter and Saturn were at a similar distance apart as they are now in our sky. The problem was, though, those two were lost in the glare of the setting sun. And so unless you knew this was going to happen, you probably missed it. And so the time before that, when they were that close, actually even a little closer, and it was far enough away from the sun that you could see it, was March of the year 1226.
Wow. I did not go back that far in my research, but I was curious about trying to wrap my head around 1623. And I looked up notable events from that year. I thought the most interesting one was that was the first folio, Shakespeare's, the first collection of Shakespeare's work posthumously was published that year, 1623. So let's maybe we can go over some of the ways that, that people might see this once-in-a-lifetime conjunction. Naked eye, binoculars, consumer telescope. Let's start with the naked eye. Any tips for heading out to see this?
Yep, absolutely. So if it happens to be clear out where you are anytime over about the next 2 weeks, you've got time. And we know that December in Illinois can be cloudy. So go outside anytime it's clear, just after sunset. And you want to go out maybe 30, 40 minutes after sunset. Face to the southwest, you will see two relatively bright objects. The brighter one is Jupiter, the dimmer one is Saturn. And over the next couple weeks, you'll see them appear to change their orientation with respect to each other. What you're seeing is the change, the movement of Jupiter through the Saturn to the solar system, and the movement of Earth through the solar system, changing our perspective a little bit. If you have binoculars, you can point them, and I guarantee you'd get them in the same view. If you have a small telescope, even with just moderate magnification, you'll get them in the same eyepiece view, which is really neat to see the rings of Saturn and the disk of Jupiter all at the same time. And if you're lucky, you'll probably see some moons as well.
Yeah, I'm probably not doing something right. I have a small telescope that I pull out into the backyard sometimes. I can see the moons of Jupiter more easily than the bands. I think I'm still figuring out the focus and the eyepieces, though, as an amateur.
Or it could be.
Go ahead.
It's pretty low in the sky, so maybe Jupiter's a little too fuzzed out to see the bands. And also, it might depend on your focus, like you said, of your telescope. So, yeah, just play around with that a little bit. But don't get too discouraged if you can't see the bands on there. You kind of need a little bit of extra magnification to be able to see that. So it's just fine if you can just see the disk and the moons.
Realistic expectations, too. People should not expect Hubble Space Telescope type photos in backyard astronomy. let me reintroduce you. I'm Brian Mackey. This is the 21st. I'm talking with Michelle Nichols, who's Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. We're talking about the Great Conjunction, the sort of alignment from Earth's perspective of Jupiter and Saturn in the night sky. It's going to peak around the winter solstice here in the Northern Hemisphere, December 21st, but you can see it tonight and anytime for the next week or so when the skies are clear. This is a rare astronomical... Oh, and I should also say, if you want to call in, if you have questions, give us a call at 800-222-9455. The number again, 800-222-9455. This is a rare astronomical event that people should be able to see even in reasonably bright lights, big city conditions, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
But if people do want to head out into the country, any tips on finding darker skies without, you know, having to fly to Utah or something like that?
The pandemic has actually made this an extremely hard question to answer because a lot of places have changed their hours when they might be open, parks and such. So it is almost impossible for us to recommend specific locations. But one thing that I have kind of come up with that seems to help is look at the map of Illinois state parks and county parks and all that. If there's one that is near you, give them a call and call up ahead of time and say, hey, I want to try to come out. I notice it's going to be clear in 3 nights. Can I come out and just hang out in the parking lot for a couple hours? They may say no, but they may say yes. So my philosophy is if you don't ask, the answer is no. So just ask and see if there is a spot where you could go safely that you won't get locked in to the park. Sometimes they lock the gates. But just see if there's a county or state park that might allow you to stay the evening for a few hours anyway.
Yeah, special case, special pleading in this case. I also,
you know,
there's
you probably also won't be the first person to ask.
Yeah, that's true too. There's also an app I use. I don't know if you're familiar with this, called Dark Sky, which shows sort of a map of the United States with sort of, it's kind of like a heat map where the more light pollution you have, the brighter it is on the map. So you can sort of find a country road or something, if it's safe to pull off to
exactly
to look up.
Yeah, an online version of that is lightpollutionmap.info. So you can go and see and search for certain areas, and if you put in a spot, it'll drop a little pin as to where it might be good to go to, or at least it'll show you the spot that you've picked, whether or not it's good from a light pollution perspective. But one thing I want to bring up is there is an International Dark Sky Association Night Sky Park as part of the Champaign County Forest Preserves. It is Middle Fork River Forest Preserve, and it is a resource right nearby, a little bit northeast of Champaign, and call them up, see if you can go hang out there. They do have camping. I don't know what the current situation is because of the pandemic, but just go on their website, see what the arrangements are, and that is actually a great place to go that isn't too far away.
Okay, good tip for our listeners in central Illinois. So are there any other astronomical phenomena, that's a phrase I'm not going to write into a script again, are there any other astronomical phenomena to look out for in the coming weeks? Go ahead.
Yep, sorry. The peak of the quadranted meteor shower is late the evening of January 2nd into the early morning of January 3rd. The peak of that particular meteor shower is usually only about 6 hours long. So this isn't one of those meteor showers where I can say, if you miss it, just wait a day and you just will see fewer. You probably will see hardly any if it's not clear where you are. But these meteor showers happen every year. So if you miss it this year, you can go, or 2021, you can check it out again in 2022. So it'll be the peak. It will be late the evening of the 2nd into like after midnight to about 3 or 4 in the morning on January 3rd. And it's one of the better ones of the year usually.
Okay. Last thing I want to ask you about, you might be aware that presently University of Illinois Aerospace Engineering alum Mike Hopkins is on the International Space Station. He was commander of the Crew 1 mission to get he and other astronauts there. We're actually scheduled to interview him from space in January on the 21st. I understand our listeners can try to see the International Space Station passing overhead sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And as a fellow University of Illinois Physics Department alum, I am very proud of Mike Hopkins, so go Illini. You can see if the space station will be visible from your location. An easy way to do it is go to spotthestation.nasa.gov and put in your location. And the database doesn't cover every single town, but just pick a nearby town. It'll be close enough. And you just click on it and it will tell you when the space station will be visible, what direction to look, how long it will be visible for, and how high up in the sky to look. And so it's spotthestation.nasa.gov. And there's another one called Heavens Above, heavens-above.com. You can put in your location and it will also tell you when the space station will be visible. I saw it just a few nights ago as it passed just a few degrees above Jupiter and Saturn. So that was a special sight.
Oh, very nice. All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Michelle Nichols is Director of Public Observing at the Adler Planetarium in Chicago. Great information today. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
And that is it for today. One final note, Illinois' first doses of an approved COVID-19 vaccine were administered this morning in Peoria and Chicago. We're following that news, and on tomorrow's show, we'll be taking your questions about the vaccine and rollout. Please leave us a voice message at 217-300-2121. Again, that's 217-300-2121. We'll try to answer as many vaccine questions as we can with our guests tomorrow. We depart today with Gustav Holst. This is Jupiter, the bringer of jollity from the planets. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.